Okay, let's turn to the Bible for a moment. And so, if you want to go, turn back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And the focus is going to be verse 10. Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. So, ladies and gentlemen, and boys and girls, I have some good news for you. Some good news for you. We haven't had much of that, have we, this last year? What a year it's been. Certainly been lots of bad news, certainly been lots of sad news. We would never have imagined when we met last Christmas Day, those of us who were here, what was going to happen during this year. But I have some good news. Now, what is that good news? Is it that a vaccine has been found? Well, that is undoubtedly good news. But I have better news than that, more significant news than that. It is, if you like, news of a vaccine for something more serious than COVID-19. Is it news that good news that the border with France has been reopened and we're going to get salad and tangerines after all? No, that isn't the good news that I've got for you this morning. I've got news that a border to somewhere far better has been opened up for us. Somewhere better than France. Border to God's kingdom. To God's family. The border to heaven has been opened up for us. I've got good news. We might not be able to hug one another today. Perhaps that is good news for some of you. I don't know. But I've got the news that God has opened his arms and he's ready to take us in and receive us and welcome us. And it's all because of this child who was born. Good news. Let's just think about four things about this good news for a moment this morning. First of all, it is good news from God. It is good news from God. The angel speaks these words in verse 10 to the shepherd, but clearly he's just bringing a message from God. He's come from God to speak for God. That is why Luke says, doesn't he, the glory of the Lord shone around them. And of course, that was something awesome. Frightening. These shepherds, we're told, were greatly afraid. They were terrified. Now, of course, to be a shepherd in first century Palestine, you didn't just need to own a tea towel and a dressing gown. You needed to be tough and strong. You needed to be the sort of person who, when in the middle of the night you heard a growl, your instinct was to go and investigate. Whereas for most of us, our instinct would be to run the other way. So you needed to be tough to be a shepherd. You needed to be ready to fight off predators who were going to make a meal of one of your sheep. And yet these shepherds, when they're faced with the glory of the Lord, an angel who's come from God, are terrified. And that tends to be what happens in the Bible when people meet with God, doesn't it? When people get a sense of the presence of God, when they feel that God's near, they're afraid. And rightly so. Because God is awesome. And God is holy, and we are little, and more significantly, we are sinners. The good news of Christmas comes against the bad news of sin, doesn't it? That you and I are sinners, and that means we've broken God's law. You children understand that, don't you? We've been selfish and greedy, and we've been unkind, and we've wanted to be gods of our own lives, and that's what sin is, and it's serious. And so when God approaches, the God who's the judge of all the earth approaches, quite rightly we're afraid. But the good news is that someone has come. That means we don't have to be afraid. That we don't have to run away. That's what happened, wasn't it? Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they hid, didn't they, from God? They ran away. But Something's happened now that enables us to come out and into God's presence and not be afraid. It's good news from God. God's done something. God's accomplished something. God has come and said, you don't need to be afraid. So it's good news from God. It's good news, secondly, that brings great joy. I'm not making it up, am I? It's here. Glad tidings, good news of great joy. I don't know if you saw, Boris Johnson made a Christmas Eve speech. Did you ever see it online? And he said, I've got glad tidings of great joy. Do you know what he brought out? The 2,000 pages of the EU treaty, trade treaty for us. Wow, man alive. That's where your joy's coming from today. I feel sorry for you. That's not where joy comes from. Now, we all like to laugh, don't we? Well, most of us do, anyway. And generally speaking, at this time of year, there's, you know, this festivity, isn't there? There's laughter and fun, although not so much this year, is there? But we like to laugh. We like to have fun every now and again. Even the Christmas cracker is funny, isn't it? The joke in it. But actually, when you scratch beneath the surface of people's lives, you realise actually there's not really that much real joy. There's a lot of insecurity, actually, isn't there? And unhappiness and dissatisfaction with life. And this year, of all years, we've been just reminded of how fragile are the things that we look to for joy are. And ultimately, the Bible says this is all the result of our sin. This is all the result of our separation from God. Because where were we made to find joy? We were made to find it in God and in knowing Him and in walking with Him and in living in God's world with Him. And we've lost that. And yet the good news of Christmas is that can be restored and we can know true, real joy. Can I ask you honestly this morning, do you have real joy? That isn't dependent on everything in your life going well and everyone doing what you want them to do? Do you have a real joy that comes from Jesus Christ? I can tell you this morning, real joy isn't found anywhere else. It's glad tidings of great joy. So this good news, it's from God. It brings joy. It's for everyone. Glad tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. So, good news last Saturday. I think it was last Saturday. Norwich City won. Again. Well, that was good news for Norwich City fans. It wasn't good news for who was it? Cardiff City fans. But this is good news for everyone. Or perhaps better to put it like this. This is good news for anyone. Anyone. I think that's the sort of significance, isn't it, of the shepherds being told. Because although shepherds were tough, they were rather despised. Nobody really actually wanted to be a shepherd. If you wanted to get anywhere in the world, you didn't think, oh, I know, I'm going to go a career as a shepherd. They were despised. They were dismissed. And yet it's to the shepherds that this message first comes. I mean, now we know it, don't we? We know the story, but it is remarkable. And it wasn't because they were the only ones who happened to be up. Because angels can wake anyone up if God wants them to. I think this is telling us something, isn't it, about the message. And this is for anybody. It's not just for the great and the good and the religious and the important in terms of this world. It is for anyone and everyone. And the reason is because we're all the same in God's eyes. So the most insignificant of us here this morning, humanly speaking, is as significant in God's eyes as the Queen or Boris Johnson or whoever else you want to name. We're all the same in what way? In that we're all sinners. We've all broken God's law and none of us can get to heaven. And none of us can earn God's favour. And yet here's good news for every one of us here this morning. This is good news for you. Good news for anyone watching on this morning. It's for you. It's good news from God. It's good news That brings joy. It's good news for all. It's good news of a Saviour. Isn't it? There is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour. There's a rescuer. A rescuer has arrived. You ever been in trouble? Broken down on the side of the motorway or something, and then you see the AA van or the RIC or whatever else it is coming over the horizon, and it's praying, isn't it? You see, they're here. We're going to be rescued. We're going to be all right, wherever it might be. To need a rescuer, you've got to be what? You've got to be in trouble, haven't you? So, you're eating your lunch today, and the door bursts open, and in come the Norfolk Fire Brigade in full gear, and they drag you out of the house. And you go, why are they doing that? I might have slightly overcooked the turkey, but I don't need to be rescued. But if you're at home at night and your house is on fire and you can't escape, and then the fire brigade, and you don't go, well, why are they here? You go, I know why they're here, and the sight is a beautiful sight. And so Jesus comes, and we say, well, what do we need? We need a saviour. We need a rescuer. And we've seen, we're in trouble. Sin is serious. It separates us from God. It will eternally separate us from God. If nothing happens, if no rescuer comes, but here's a rescuer. So you children understand. Jesus, really, you could say Jesus means rescuer. Saviour. You shall call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. He's God's promised rescuer. He's Christ. He's the Messiah. But he's Christ the Lord, isn't he? What does that mean? That means he's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's God come to be our Savior. This is the wonder of it, isn't it? That in Jesus Christ, what do we have? We have somebody who's truly and fully God, and yet truly and fully man in this one person, so that we've got someone who can bring us to God and represent us before God. We've got a mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ. That's what you and I need. We never mind a deal with the European Union. We need, if I can put it this way, a deal with God. We need someone who can stand between us and God and represent us and bring us to God and sort things between us and God. That's what we need. And that's what we've got in Jesus. And how does he do it? He does it in the most remarkable way, by living that perfect, beautiful, sinless, wonderful life that you and I have just failed on every level to live. And then he gives himself as a sacrifice for our sin, and stands in our place, and faces our punishment, and deals with God's wrath, so that we can know peace with God, so that we can have a vaccine for our sin, and we can be brought into his kingdom, and we can be brought into his arms, and into his love. And how do we know that's all true? We know it's true because he rose again from the dead. And God said, this is my son. And everything he's done is true and right. And it's a little wonder, is it, that the rest of the angels they can't contain themselves, can they? I sort of imagine them in the background, sort of waiting for the first angel to get his message out so that they can all just burst out, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. This is something worth rejoicing in this morning. So, what would you do if your house was on fire and you were stuck upstairs and you couldn't get out and a fireman appeared and said, come to me? I know what every one of us would do. We'd get to him as quick as we could. And what does Jesus say to us this morning? He says, come to me. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden. Come to me. What does that mean? It means cry out to him. Pray to him. Come to him in faith. Believe in him. Acknowledge your sin and your need and just ask him to be your saviour. And he will. Anyone can come to him. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever you've been, you could have come and you will find true joy and peace. And a joy and peace that nothing else can give you and isn't found anywhere else. So wouldn't that be the most wonderful thing to do today if you've not done it before? On Christmas Day. Reuben's got his birthday today. What about somebody here this morning having their spiritual birthday? Being born again today. By coming to Jesus Christ and finding life and peace in him. What a wonderful thing to know today.